Thank you for listening to the Christ the King Church podcast. We exist to help people know, love, and obey Jesus as Lord over all of life. For more information about our church, please visit us at ctksensi.com.
Good morning, church. Great seeing all of you here today. If I haven't met you yet, my name is Michael Clary, and I'm the lead pastor here at Christ the King Church. And to give you a bit of a heads up, because my sermon today is a bit unusual. I'm not going to be preaching necessarily the normal way where we go through text of scripture and we exposit it and apply it to our lives. I want to be doing more of a state of the church address. So it's more of a preaching to the church about the church. Something we roughly do about once a year, and it's important just to kind of to get a read on where things are with the biggest audience, with the biggest microphone, where everybody can get on the same page. So that's what we're doing here, and I wanted to do it before we got into the fall when we'll be starting a new book of the Bible, and I didn't want to interrupt that. So we're doing it this week, and we'll start Romans in 2 weeks. So this is a State of the Church address. Where we'll review our mission and vision. We'll talk about where things are currently in terms of our church organization, our future, and our goals. And then along the way, I've got just some practical things I'll talk about as we go. So let's dig in. And if you would just stand with me, I'll read a text from Proverbs just to keep with our Proverbs theme we've been doing. I'll read one verse from Proverbs. And then the prayer after that, I want to pray from the book of 1 Chronicles. So I want to read a prayer as well. So I'm in Proverbs 1 verse, Proverbs 17 verse 6 says this. Grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and the glory of children is their fathers. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray this prayer together. David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly, and David said, Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might. And in your hand, it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. Amen. You may be seated. Man, I love that prayer. It's such a great prayer. The book of 1 Chronicles. All right, let me start here. If you want to follow along, I've got some notes. I have more to say than I have time to say it. So I've created a webpage on our website. It's not available to the public. This is just for you all here today. And so you can either scan the QR code and follow along with some of the notes, or you can just type that in. If you weren't aware, we are now ChristTheKingNKY.com and not CTKSensi.com. And we're slowly, both work, but we're slowly changing our digital footprint. So what you're going to find on this webpage is the notes of what I'm going to say today, and then a couple other little details that I may not tease out fully. And there's a link on there to our about, it's called Who We Are page. And the Who We Are page includes a lot of things that you might find helpful because we're trying to solidify what it is that we're trying to do, what's our culture. Whenever I get, I'll talk about our church culture here in a little bit. But there's a link there to the Who We Are page that's got some more information. So, but for today, I'm just going to be camping out on that vision page. 1 year ago, Christ the King Church met in this small building over on the other side of the river in Ohio in Clifton by the university. And we were considering a move over here to where we are now. But at the time, we were in this catch-22 situation. So we needed a bigger building. And we wanted it to be in a better location in order for our church to grow. And we knew that there are people who would love to be a part of a church like this, but there was a barrier. Our building, our location, and parking was a barrier. And in fact, since we've been here, I have heard people admit what I'd always suspected, but they actually admitted it. There are people that have visited the church that, we were aware of you for a while, but we never would go because you're over in Clifton. But it's like, now that you're here, it makes more sense for us to be here. And I'm like, I always knew it. I always knew that was the case. And now it's confirmed. And I've heard that from a number of people. And so what we suspected to be true is true. So we wanted to be in a better situation, but we couldn't find anything suitable to lease or to rent or lease. Tongue tied. Couldn't find anything suitable to rent or lease because we needed a place that would seat about 500 people for us for it to make sense. And we couldn't find anything to purchase because a building of that size would be way out of our price range. So to afford something in our price range, we would need more money, which means we need more people who are giving. And our current building was too small to attract more people in order for them to be givers, in order for us to afford a bigger building. Do you see the catch-22 we were in? We were stuck. So I was aware of this building, and when I first came aware of it, I saw it on the internet, and I was just like, that building is too perfect, but it's way out of our price range. It was listed a little under $4 million. And it was like, there's no way we could buy something like that, too expensive. And so we kept looking, we kept praying. Some of us were fasting every week, sometimes multiple days a week, just asking God, Lord, what do you want us to do? And I was open. I was like, Lord, if you want us to stay put in Clifton for the duration, then make that known to me, so I could just let it go and mortify the desire. But this building came up, and I was like, man, that's perfect. And the location is perfect. I mean, it checks every single box. And so without going into all the details, I'll share a little bit more about this later, but God provided an opportunity for us to purchase this building. And to do so, there was a combination of two loans that we would need to make. And so we'll talk about this more in a little bit, but buying this building was a huge step of faith. And those of you who are here for that, you know that it was a big step of faith. And what it took, it was just a lot of prayer and a lot of, like, you know, biting our nails and white knuckling and just like, Lord, are you going to do this? How is it going to come together? But we did it. So why did we do it? Why did we take this step of faith to buy this bigger building so we could be in a better location? Why did we do it? It wasn't simply because we want to be a bigger church. That's really what I want you to hear that. I mean, being a bigger church, that's more people, that's ministry fruit, that's a good thing, but it wasn't merely to be a bigger church. The goal was to be in a building that would be able to accommodate the mission we're pursuing and would have to be the right size and location that would make sense for who we are, what we're trying to accomplish, and the demographic that we're targeting and where we want to accomplish these things. And it was clear that just Clifton wasn't the right spot. It did not make sense for us to be this multi-generational kind of families, extended families, man, woman, household, all of these things in Clifton, which is it's a pretty niche college type neighborhood. As the church over time grew and we started to live and practice the things that we value, it just was very obvious, like, this neighborhood doesn't make sense for us. So what is the mission? The mission that we're pursuing, I mean, you know the mission statement, you've heard me say it many times, we exist to help people know, love, and obey Jesus as Lord over all of life. Now, those of you who have been around, what you know, but what isn't part of our mission statement exactly, but it's something that you already know that this is what we're wanting to do, is that we want to accomplish this mission in such a way that Atlas Salisbury's grandkids could be a part of it. Baby that Alex mentioned earlier that was born just earlier this week. That's what we're after. There is a long, this long period of time that we want what we're doing to not merely be something that we do for 20 or 30 years and then it fizzles out. And it's like we want to establish something that has staying power and that lasts for generations. So there's a time component to this. So I've been, for many years, I've been praying for 4 generations of my own family, for my great-grandkids, to all every generation between here and my great-grandkids and all their spouses to all know, love, and obey Jesus as Lord over all of life. And so I'm praying the same thing for our church. I've been praying that for our church, that there will be generations of faithfulness at Christ the King Church where your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren there will be a church that is faithful in Cincinnati that they can worship at and be a part of. That's the dream, and it didn't make sense. It was less likely that we could work that out in Clifton. So we can worship in this room and in this building, we have room to expand if we needed to. We can park here. Although I'm hearing parking can be tight sometimes, but we're working on it. We got a solution for that. We can educate our kids in this building. We can teach classes here. We can do theological training for future pastors, elders, and church planters here. We can host church plants here. We have a chapel building, like this room, the Spurgeon Hall and the Narnia room. You know, when I first toured this building, I'm like, you know, a church plant could meet here. We could host that. We could host conferences here, as we have done. This building is well-suited to our needs to be a ministry headquarters for lots of ideas that we'd like to pursue, and it has far more potential than the place we had over in Clifton, for which we're very grateful. The Lord used it, but it had outlived its usefulness. So we're trusting God for Christ the King Church to be an oak tree church. That's like a visual, a metaphor that you can put in your mind. An oak tree is something you plant in the ground. It doesn't necessarily grow fast. It grows slow, but it grows big and it grows strong, and they last a really long time. That's what an oak tree is like. So that's our vision and our mission that we're pursuing, the big overarching goal that I believe God can and will accomplish in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the ordinary means that God uses to accomplish his purposes, of a church like this, the ordinary means God uses is people and money. Hate to be so crass, but that's just the reality. People and money. Because every church is made up of people, that's what it is, and every church needs money to pay the bills, and that's biblical. So that's an overview. Now what I want to do is I want to give you 4 points. So keep the overview in mind. That's the target on the wall. If we have a big target up there, what I just described to you, 100 years of faithfulness, a century, that's the target that we're aiming at. Now, all the things I'm about to say are points along the road that can be like, these are things that we need to trust God to do to get us toward that. Now, there's some way long-term things that we'll need to worry about, but that's not for today. For today, we're worried about what is in the near-term future, our most pressing priorities right now that we're trusting God for, all right? So, here's the first point. We're trusting God for more people. We're trusting God for more people. So I've already said we're not a seeker-driven church. We're not a church that caters to religious market demands. So if Christ the King is going to grow, and I trust and I believe that we will, we're not going to grow through church growth gimmicks. We will grow through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the means God has appointed, or not at all. So we're not going to use stupid church tricks to just wow and ooh and ah crowd. That's not what we're about. We're trusting God and the power of the Spirit to use the ordinary means that God has appointed to grow a church, and I think we have enough reason to believe that that is what God has called us and led us to do. And so the sort of ordinary means I have in mind are like expository preaching, the way we normally do, evangelism, sharing our faith in the community, through prayer, through being a bold and prophetic witness in our community, through ordinary discipleship, classes, groups, ordinary things. So in the short term, financially, we're running a deficit. And we're going to use cash reserves to pay our expenses. And so for organizationally speaking, we're trusting God to grow because growth is necessary to be able to pay the expenses. So we have two organizational priorities. Organizational priorities are, one, facilitate growth of just more people coming and be able to operate in our ministries. And the other organizational growth or other organizational priority is to improve our cash flow and pay off debt. And this starts with just with ordinary church growth. More people coming kind of opens the door to those, you know, whenever more people come, then we need to plug people into ministry and do discipleship the way we would. And then as those people come, then normally, people become givers, and then if there's more givers, then we can pay the bills. So the basic metric that we've been using, and this is based on attendance from about a year ago. So right as we were planning on doing a capital campaign to buy this building, we needed some kind of metric to determine if we make this move, what would it look like for us to be able to accomplish our goal? And so very, very roughly speaking, here's what we came up with. If we grew a net increase from last November, a net increase of 100 people attending per week, and if those 100 people gave with a similar giving patterns as the existing people were giving, then we would be back to even. That would cover the deficit that we're currently running month to month. So where are we with that? That was the calculus. Currently, it's been about 6 months, so we moved here in February. It's August now. Our attendance has increased. I mean, numbers are kind of rough, but it's been about 30 people per week. So we're about a third of the way there, and that's been 6 months. And we had about 20 months was the total timeline that we had that we were looking at. So we're well on our way. And as a more solid metric, our last new member class, I think it was 32 or 33 people, something like that, were signed up for our last new member class. So all these things are good signs of healthy growth. And if these trends hold, then we'll be on track to reach that faith goal of increasing our attendance from last year of 100 people, so 100 people more per week in this room than we had attending last year at our old building. And it usually takes about 6 months or so, 6 to 8 months, roughly, for an attendance bump to translate into a giving bump. Because a lot of times people are looking around, shopping different churches, and then they settle on one, and then they start giving. But that's a lagging indicator. So it takes a little while for the giving numbers to match and a bump in attendance. So, and that's been true to Forum in this case, that it's too soon to tell. And over the summer, your giving in a church is not as strong, so it kind of dips and your attendance fluctuates. So this is not exactly the best time to evaluate where are we at attendance-wise, where are we at giving-wise. But following the trend lines and just my anecdotal awareness of the church, I think we're moving in the right direction and we're in a real strong position. So I'm not at all worried, not the slightest bit worried. But we still want to make good plans and be intentional and prepare. So here's a simple action step to that in that regard, and this one's easy: invite people to church. Invite people to church. We're trying to, so on the digital side, we're trying to do work with Google and search engine stuff and tweaking our website to make our, whenever you search churches in Fort Thomas or churches in Northern Kentucky or whatever, whenever you search, you're trying to get ourselves higher up in the rankings, and we're climbing, but we're newer here, and I think that length of time does matter. But we're about number 15 right now. We want to try to get it up to where we're, in the very top few hits. So whenever somebody's looking for a church in Northern Kentucky or Fort Thomas and they search it on Google, then they'll see us there, because they may not go through 15 websites to get to ours. So we want to bump those numbers. But that aside, the best way for people to come to a church is just somebody to invite them. If somebody invites somebody, a personal invitation, they're far more likely to respond. So a good opportunity to do that. In 2 weeks from today, we're going to start a new series in the book of Romans. And so the book of Romans, I've been waiting. People have asked me for years, when are we going to preach through Romans? And I'm like, well, one, I'm too scared. It's a hard book, and I'm kind of intimidated. But besides that, I'd always envisioned when we were in a new building, and we wanted something to kind of anchor the pulpit, anchor the preaching ministry for a long period of time in a new place where we're growing, that would be an ideal time to do the book of Romans. And so whenever we moved into this building, I was thinking, like, this fall would be the perfect time to do Romans. And so that's what we're doing. The Romans is the most thorough and complete exposition of the gospel in the Bible. The book of Romans is, it is, without the book of Romans, where would we be? It is a very just powerful exposition of the gospel. And so we'll spend, as long as we're in the book of Romans, we'll be expositing the gospel itself. So it's a great opportunity to invite people to church. And in the fall months in particular, in those early chapters of Romans, there's a lot more evangelistic flair to the book. So be able to deal with human sin and depravity, all have sinned, and the remedy found in Jesus Christ. So this fall is a great time to be inviting people to church. I'll say another thing. Studies that I've read, just surveys and whatnot, are consistently showing that interest in church is on the rise. So, you know, for years, there's been this decline, and it's felt like, you know, the sky is falling a bit. It's like, man, like, if church attendance and church interest keeps falling off at this level, then it's like, where will all the Christians be in 20 years? But that's leveled off. It's declined, and there are some signs that it's actually plateaued and reversing. And I think that the craziness that we experienced in our country from 2020 to 2024, that woke a lot of people up. From COVID until this last election, that window of time was very, very revealing to where people thought, you know what, we've been playing around with this woke thing for a while, and I'll be darned if that's not the craziest thing that I've ever seen, and it is destroying our country. And so people are thinking, my God, literally, my God, what are we going to do? We need answers. And so people are open the way they haven't been before. This is particularly true of younger generations, and this is particularly true of those young generations of young men. So young men, the age of my boys, young men, and I'm like, anecdotally, I see it everywhere. Young men are, they want law, they want order, they want stability, they want rootedness. Wouldn't you know it, those are the things that we've always been practicing as a church. And so I think that, you know, in God's wisdom, that this is fortunate timing in the Lord's providence, that there is an opportunity, I think, to reach young people in particular, especially young men, with a message that is resonating with them. I mean, we're not going to change our messaging. We're going to preach what we always have preached. But I think there is a more receptive and willing audience in young men than there has been in previous years. So we've tried to maximize our connecting points. So there's as much as possible, as people come to the church, they have an opportunity quickly to get connected, meet people, to get involved. So we have nearly a dozen city groups. I think there's 11. We have, and they'll all be starting up together. So whenever your city groups get started in a couple weeks, that is prime time to be inviting people, because people are more likely to begin something on the front end when you're just starting it than if you've been going for 6 months. So that's a prime time to invite people. Hey, we're starting a new group. Please come. Invite people on Sunday. They don't need to fill out a form. They don't need to sign a paper. Just invite them, and they can just show up. It's that easy. So invite people to your groups. But we also have two Sunday school classes that will be going on Sundays starting that same week. And breaking some news here, we're going to be doing a little experiment with a Wednesday night, so midweek Bible study. Not exactly a city group, because it's more of a class format, but it's not exactly a Sunday school class, because it's in the middle of the week, and it's you know, it's a little bit more personal. Kent Clee, if y'all know Kent. Kent, can you just wave your hand there? That's Kent. He looks a little bashful, not wanting everybody looking at him, so I'll enjoy seeing his face turn red. But Kent is going to be teaching that for us. Kent is a man of the word. He knows his Bible. He knows doctrine. And so I'm very excited for that class. And so it's Wednesday nights, starting the same week that we're starting everything else. So that's another opportunity where you can invite people. And Kent has a heart for evangelism. So this is going to be a great chance for, if somebody, you know, there are some people that they're not, I want to sit in a living room and sit in a circle and talk about my personal life. Some people, that's just not their bag, you know? Like, I'm just not into that. I'm like, okay, maybe that's not for everybody, but you can come to a class midweek and you still are connecting with people between Sundays in a classroom format that is a little bit easier, more accessible, and it's in a church building, so that feels safer. You're not going to a stranger's house. All those things, I think, can combine to make this a great opportunity. So if you could come to that, you can invite people to that, invite unbelievers to that, and they'll be going through, is it 1 John? Is that right? I think it's 1 John what they'll be doing, going through that book. The point is this. Our ministries are built for growth, and we're trusting God for new growth this fall, so invite people. Now, I've said this already, we're not trying to grow just for the sake of growth. Not all growth is good growth. Cancer grows. That's not good growth. So not all growth is good growth. We want good growth, right? We want to grow the right way, because we're building something that we want to last for 100 years, which means that we want it to grow healthy and grow right. And that's my second point. So the next point I've got here is we're trusting God to preserve our culture. The culture of this church matters. A church's culture is one of the most undervalued aspects of church life. It's powerful for discipleship. The culture, I made a comment to somebody the other day, it's kind of like if a pastor is not, a culture is what exists in the room when the pastor walks out. So whenever if the pastor's there, then people might talk and say certain things because they think that's what they're supposed to do. Whenever the pastor walks out, that's when culture takes over. And the culture is like the norms and expectations and actions, behaviors that because there's not that accountability of a pastor being there. It's just like, this is just what takes over whenever we're left to do what we want. And I love the culture of our church because I feel like the culture of our church is strong and healthy. It's biblical. It is robust. It is, I'm laughing because Alex thinks that's a funny word. So he's shaking his head at me when I said the word robust. Anyway, it's a little inside joke. Sorry about that. But the culture of our church is great. I'll give you an example of this. There was a few weeks ago, the elders got away for a couple of days for an elders retreat. And there was a pastor friend of ours, Tim Bailey, who's in Bloomington. We asked him he's retired now, and this man is just an ocean of wisdom in pastoral ministry. And so we thought, man, if Tim could come and visit with us, that would be huge. And so he was coming off of a trip to Michigan, and so he drove from Michigan all the way down here to meet with us. We were down in Williamstown at a rental place. So Tim came and stayed with us, spent a few hours with us, like 5 or 6 hours, and then he drove back to Bloomington that night. So it was a big deal that he came. You know, and Tim had great things to say, a lot of helpful things. I took all kinds of notes, as I always do when I hang out with Tim. But one thing stood out as my favorite thing that he said while we were there. Tim is not an easy man to please, by the way. Tim is not a man that will flatter you. And men, you'll have a chance to meet him because he's going to be our men's retreat speaker later this year. Wonderful man. So what Tim said, and that when we were there with our elders, is he just kind of leaned back in his chair and he goes, I love this culture that you men have together. There's just three of us. He goes, I love your culture here. And what he was saying is like, the way that we interact, the way that we are, in one moment we're dead serious, and then the next moment we're belly laughing. That's our culture. I mean, this is who we are, the three of us. And he said, this is so rare. This man knows culture. This man knows churches, pastors. This man is more connected than just about anybody you'll ever know. And he said, what you have in the eldership culture here between the three of you is rare. You cannot buy it. It is hard to come by. And I'm like, man, he could have handed me a check for $1 million. And I would have loved that better than what he said, but I still loved what he said. I still loved what he said. I mean, that was so encouraging because I was like, thank God, praise the Lord. This is so valuable. We've worked so hard to establish a culture within our elders, and then we want that culture to be the culture of our church. That's the power of culture. It's something, it is what is second nature and innate in a group of people. Now, don't get me wrong. I want to brag on our culture, but in a way that is not prideful. I want to say it with a heart of gratitude for what the Lord has done and accomplished in our church, particularly over the last couple, 3 years. But we have a healthy culture. Our people are genuinely joyful. I know you people. Most of you, I know you pretty well. And I know that the joy that I see on your faces on Sunday isn't fake. That's a powerful testimony to the God we serve and the gospel we believe. Our people truly love each other. The way that you all serve each other practically, you really care for one another. If somebody's sick, if there's a baby, there's meal trains, there's people taking care of each other, you step up and serve each other. There's a vibrant sense of community and real deep friendships. Now, if you don't feel that, and that sounds like, oh, I don't have the thing Michael's describing, like, don't worry about that, because these are things that take years to develop. And so it does take time. So if you don't feel that right now, that doesn't mean it won't happen. It just means that there hasn't been enough time. And it takes about 2 years, honestly, it takes about 2 years for a person to go from I'm visiting a first Sunday and I'm committed to a church to I really feel plugged in. So But the culture of our church is not cliquish or exclusive. We bring people in. It's a warm culture. We have a high grace, high truth culture. You know this. We don't shy away from hard truths. And yet, it's a very safe, as it were, it's a safe place to fall apart. You know that if you talk to anybody, I'm like, hey man, like I'm really struggling. My life is falling apart. I've got this going on. You're not going to be pounded into the pavement with judgmental sneers and criticism. You're like, hey, we're all screwed up. We all need the gospel of Jesus Christ. We confess it every week. We receive it every week. We feast to the grace of God every week. So we're a high grace culture, but we'll say the hard thing when we need to. We value families and kids and households. I mean, obviously, there's kids everywhere. And if you didn't notice before, wait till we're done, and you'll see them running everywhere. You'll trip over kids. You know, it's just kids everywhere. And this is a value that is reinforced just in the lives of our people. I mention these things not to brag, but as the fruit of a set of commitments that we hold together. And a healthy culture like this is rare. It's difficult to gain, and it needs to be protected. So why am I telling you these things? It is because some churches, and some of you may have experienced this yourself, you're part of a growing church. And what you loved about the church when it was small was lost as the church grew. Some churches will sacrifice health for the sake of growth. And that's not what we're about. We want to grow, but want to grow the right way. And so there might be weeks where we'll preach on something, and you're like, boy, I'm surprised they said that. They went there. That's going to offend a lot of people. Yes, it is. And that's why we preach it. We preach it because it offends people, because if somebody's humble and repentant, then that hard thing will challenge them, and they'll repent and they'll grow. And if they're hard-hearted, they'll know we ain't budging, and they'll go seek a church elsewhere. We do that on purpose. That is part of the immune system of our church culture. We preach hard things because preaching hard things, ironically, creates a more warm and joyful and healthy church environment. It's necessary. It's food for our souls. So I want to reassure you, in case you're nervous that as we grow, that we'll lose things. We'll kind of lose our way and we'll drift off somehow. We ain't going to do that. I'm telling you now, as long as the Lord gives me breath and I'm in this position as lead pastor, we ain't going to do that. We're going to grow the right way or not at all. Christ the King Church is a gospel-preaching, Bible-believing, Christ-loving, sin-hating, saint-serving, Holy Spirit-filled church. That's who we are. And our culture is maintained by a group effort, and we need all of you. And I mean all of you. It's not just on the leadership. This is a group effort to maintain that culture. And we're all establishing and promoting that culture as new people join in. And so we need everybody that's part of our church to contribute to the culture and to invest in various ways to help maintain who we are. And so that leads me to the next two points that I want to make about how we invest in our church, how we, like, what each of us can contribute to the life of the church. And I'll just go ahead and tell you up front, I'm getting at giving and serving. Those are the two things I'm getting at next, people and money, like serving and finances. So the third point is we're trusting God for more people to serve the church, more people to serve in the church. So these last two points are practical, and I've got a specific ask for both of them. So going into this move to this building, we knew it would be a Herculean effort to get adjusted in the first year because our staff and our infrastructure is built for a church of about 150 to 200 people, but now we're closer to 300 people. Now our staff is lean also. We have three full-time guys, me and Wade and Zach Frick are three full-time, and we have one part-time, which is Katrina Stid. And so everything that all the paid staff of the church is the four of us. And we get a lot done. I mean, we're lean, we're efficient, and we're hardworking. We get a lot done. But as the church grows, that means there's more work to do because there's more people to minister to and to get involved. And we're not in a position to hire more staff right now. So one of our biggest needs as a church is recruiting and training new volunteers to serve the church in various ways, which means we really need everybody to get involved to help carry the load. That's the only way we can function properly, is if the work is spread out through a number of people. And so for those of you, if you're newer to the church, you've not been around super long, I just would say, like, this is one of the best ways to get connected, because we bond whenever we work together with people. Work is a bonding agent. And whenever you serve alongside other people, you're sharing responsibilities, you're gaining interdependence on other people because you have interdependent roles on a team. That helps you to connect with people, and it makes things move along faster in the process of getting to know people. So that's my first ask. My first ask, to just bottom line it here, we need everybody who attends Christ the King to serve the church in some capacity. Here's a scripture. Romans 12, for as in one body, or one body here, we have many members, it's all of us, and the members do not all have the same function. Various gifts, right? So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. That's what I'm getting at here. We have lots of different gifts. You guys are extraordinarily talented and gifted in so many different ways. And the trick from our staff level is to help to identify and service the right gifts and to direct those gifts toward needs in the church, and to do it all in a consistent way across the board so that there's training and effectiveness. I did a little estimate this week. I guess about 35 to 40 people are needed to serve in various ways right now. 35 or 40 more people than are currently plugged in are needed to kind of fill out all the teams to where they're all functioning optimally. So there's welcome team. Cisco, where are you at? Here's Cisco. Cisco is going to be the new welcome team ninja. He's going to take over. Yeah, Cisco, we can clap for him. So Cisco, he's going to be providing leadership to the team, training, helping get people onboarded. So welcome team is one opportunity. Another one is worship team. So you notice from week to week, some weeks we'll have a full band, and that's always really lively and energetic, and that's fun. I mean, it adds something really special and nice to the worship time. Other times it's more stripped down, which is great because we're hearing our voices more. But our desire is to have consistent, more musicians playing consistently, which means like every week you're able to expect similar instrumentation from week to week. And right now Wade is limited by the number of people who are able to serve and the intervals they're able to participate. So we need more people serving on the worship team. We have a security team that is the security team is bigger in this building because there's more ground to cover. We have landscaping grounds crew. We didn't have no grass at the last building. Just a little strip right in front of the building. You can cut it in 10 minutes. But now we've got close to 5 acres to cover, and it's tricky. So, and we've got landscaping and mulching and all that stuff and weeds to pull. So we have to just begin something new, which is a landscaping and grounds crew. This one hits close to home for me because graphic design is a huge need, not because I'm any good at it, but just because I like for things to look good and consistent, and I don't have the skills to do the things that I think are important. So we need people that can do graphic design. We have repairs to be made around here and just a little odd construction, handyman kind of jobs. So we need handyman skills. And, of course, there's always CTK Kids, which is an ongoing need forever, where just more people that can plug in and serve in kids' ministry. There's audio, video, people that have, and you don't even have to be skilled. You can be trained. If you have a decent musical ear, or even if you just do slides, you know, you can, if you can hit a space bar and can read English, then you can do slides. There's I would like us to be able to do more for teenagers, young people. But that, again, that takes somebody who could say, I want to facilitate once a month getting our teenagers together so they have a chance to connect. Right now, we don't have anybody identified to do that, but that's something I would like us to do in the future. So, point being, we just need an all-hands-on-deck mentality with the goal of everybody serving. Now, if you're still not sure, if you agree with me, let me just take us a step further. Every week, whenever we come here, there are things that just happen, and we don't realize that somebody actually did that thing. So we see friends, and we sing, and we worship, and we enjoy fellowship, but somebody's cleaned this building since last Sunday. Somebody's prepared coffee and communion. Somebody's running the audio and video and lights and all that stuff. Somebody's prepared the slides and is running the slides. Somebody's printed bulletins. Somebody's watching kids and kids ministry. Somebody welcomed you when you came in the door. There's people keeping us safe because they're out there watching on security. There's somebody who has prepared to teach Sunday school class, or they prepared the worship, or prepared a sermon. When it's not a Sunday, there's somebody who is fixing things as it breaks around here. Somebody runs a website. Somebody sends out communications so you're informed. There's somebody who leads or hosts the city group you're part of. Somebody else trains people to do the various jobs. And those things take a lot of work. And it's easy to take things like that for granted because we just assume that always it just happens, right? It just happens, and we don't think about the fact that somebody had to put in effort to get that thing to happen. And that's not the reality. I mean, we all benefit from the effort and work of other people. And so as the old adage goes, many hands make light work, but now there's more work to do than before. And so we need your help. And next step, just to make this simple, is to go to the little serving page on our website. You can either look at it from the menu, or it's linked on the at the bottom of the vision page that I showed you earlier. There's a survey. On the serving page, there's a survey. And that survey is to let us know what skills and availability do you have that might be useful between Sundays. And then below that are things that we need on Sundays. So there's Sunday teams, but that survey at the top is what can you do and how much might you be able to serve between Sundays, you know, during the week. So if you fill out, so I'm asking everybody, if you're not already plugged into serving somewhere, please go onto that serving page, fill that out, and maybe it's on a Sunday, or maybe it's somehow during the week, maybe it's remotely, but maybe there are things that, you know, let us know what you're available to do, and, you know, somebody will follow up with you. All right, I want to say one last thing about this before I move on. If you are already serving on a team, I hate to do this, but it's necessary, follow through with your commitments, because not everybody does, and if people are counting on you to show up at a certain time to do something, and you don't show, then everybody else has to scramble. Let me just show you a verse here. James 5:12. Above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. It doesn't do any good if you say you're going to serve and then you don't show up. That's not a win. It'd be better just to know that nobody's going to be there than have to scramble last minute. So it is an integrity issue. It is a maturity issue. Godly men and women should follow through with their commitments. So if you're scheduled to serve, please follow through. Keep your word, be a man or woman of your word, and follow through. All right, last point. Number four, we're trusting God to increase our monthly income and pay off debts. So we'll go back to the financial piece from before. We currently have three debts. We have a debt on the Warner Building from a renovation from years ago. We have a debt on this building, two debts on this building. One is from the seller, Highland Hills Baptist Church, and that is higher interest rate, 8%, and it's almost $700,000. And then we have a debt to a private lender, which is a lower, better interest rate, but for a larger amount of money. Now, there were some financial wizards in the church that ran some numbers and made a recommendation to the elders. And the recommendation is that it is in our best interest, long-term, to pay off our debts as aggressively and quickly as possible. So if we were to pay off these first two debts, then you could see the monthly savings. So it would be it would over a course of a year, in just monthly payments, we would save over $66,000. But the larger the Highland Hills debt, because of that 8% interest rate, we're paying about $55,000 a year in interest alone, at least this first year. And so if we were to knock out those two debts and pay them off, we would have the monthly savings, you know, of just paying the mortgage on it, and we'll be saving the interest that we're paying. So for those reasons, we want to prioritize paying off those debts. Now, the Warner Building is currently under contract for $700,000, so pray that that goes through. And once we sell it, here is the goal we plan on doing. The first two loans combined are about $808,000. After we sell our Warner Building, we expect to net $658,000 after we pay our brokerage fees and so forth. So if we took the net proceeds of that sale and we added to it $150,000 that we would raise from a capital campaign, then we could knock out both of those two loans. And that's the goal. That would be huge. But it all depends on, can we raise $150,000 by the time that building closes? Probably November-ish is what we're looking at for that. So starting today, we're going to begin this capital campaign. I know you're all excited. We need to have people just run around in circles and pom-poms and cheerleaders get all excited about another capital campaign. But the goal is much smaller. The goal is to raise $150,000 in roughly 3 months to be able to knock out two loans. Now, many of you are probably thinking, we just did this a year ago. You may not remember that. But just in case you'd forgotten, yes, we did that a year ago. Well, let me just respond by saying, yes, we did, and God provided then, and God will provide again. And so I want to speak to two different groups of people as I'm just fleshing this out briefly. The first group are those of you who gave a year ago. I want to tell you, for those of you who may not be aware, just a quick backstory. We're sitting in this room today because many people in this room gave significantly. They made a significant sacrifice to get us to being here. And God provided through their generous giving, and the Bible promises they will be rewarded for doing so. So last year, we had about 2 months to raise $1 million. And that was how we were able we approached the seller to get them to finance the seller finance part if we promised $1 million cash on the front end. So that was how it worked. And the way we ran the math, it's out of reach. It's doable, but everybody would have to give bigly, as the president would say, bigly. So the ask was for everybody to take their annual tithe and double it and give it as a one-time gift without reducing their monthly tithe. And that was huge. That was big. And I thought, whenever we did this, we're either going to buy a new building or I'm going to be looking for a new job. But it was a big ask. And the response was incredible. I mean, I knew people gave money that they just didn't have to spare, but they gave it in faith because they love the Lord and they love the church. So we had gifts ranging from, it was like $250,000, $60,000, $50,000, $35,000, $25,000, $20,000, $15,000, $10,000, all the way down. This massive, and I had a little pyramid that I drew, and I would color in the circles color in the little spaces we could see just how much was coming in. And it was an amazing thing to watch God provide. So God was glorified by their sacrifices and generosity, and we're here today because of their sacrifice. And so the years go by, they'll be able to remember the time when they took this step of faith together, and they're able to sit in and worship weekly in the blessing that God provided. And so if you're in that group where you gave a year ago, I'm not going to try to squeeze you or guilt trip you. I might have done that a little bit last year, but I'm not doing it this year. But I want to say, as you are led, I mean, obviously, this is a big deal. It's a need. And I would encourage you, if the Lord so leads you, please give sacrificially and generously. The second group is those that you had not participated yet, either for various reasons. Either you weren't able to last year or you weren't here. You're new. For those of you who have started coming since we moved into this building, you're the reason we did this. And we did this because we knew there were people out there just like you that would come here if we were here. So we bought this building with that in mind. And so now you're here at the beginning of something special that we do believe will last a long time. And I believe God has got great stuff in store for us. I mean, the step of faith that we all took a year ago, for those who did it, it was scary. I mean, it was scary for me. One of the biggest steps of faith and faith-stretching experiences of my life. But it was a true blessing of God to do it. And I'm sure those would testify who did it. They would testify, yeah, it was a step of faith, it was a stretch, but it was also a huge blessing to see God provide. So I want to invite you to take a similar step of faith that others have taken before you, and they've set an example. And that's to help us get to this next goal of paying off these debts. So 5, 10, 20 years from now, I'd love for you to be able to sit back with a smile, knowing God used you as the first wave of growth in this new building to help build something special towards the future that, Lord willing, will last a century. So the bottom line is, if you gave last year, perhaps the Lord will lead you to give again. And if for whatever reason you weren't able to give last year, here's another opportunity to take a step of faith and be a part of God's provision for the future. So, here's the ask. Would you consider giving a significant financial gift to help us reaching our goal of raising $150,000 in the next 3 months? And if we can raise that amount, then we can pay off two loans, and then we'll have one loan left at a good, favorable interest rate that is much more manageable. And if you're able to do so, if you're so inclined, the website, it's on the little giving part of our website. You can do it there. And as always, if you have an unusual way to give, use the info email address. That always goes to the right place, and we'll get back to you. All right. I want to conclude with this last thing. Just once again, it is like a dream come true to be here, truly. I mean, I have dreamed of being in a place like this for years, and it is an incredible blessing. It's a dream come true to be here. I'm so thankful for everybody who serves this church week after week. Some of you have given it so many hours in this building, and just throughout the week in general, you just put a lot of time, and the Lord is honored by the time you give to build up the body. And I'm also thankful for those of you who give financially to the church. You have given, or you're beginning to give, or you give monthly, in whatever capacity, that the Lord uses that to pay the bills. And it's we wouldn't be able to keep the lights on or do what we're doing apart from that. So thank you for giving faithfully. And God is glorified as you give your time and your treasure to advance the 100-year century of faithfulness vision of our church. And I do believe we have something special going on here. And I think the next 5-10 years, we'll be able to sit back and really enjoy some cool things that we are planning and trusting God for. And I'm excited to have you a part of it. Can't wait to see what's in store. Well, let me pray, and then we'll continue. Our Father and our God, I'm just always amazed and thankful for how you have blessed our church and provided in so many ways, both financially and in terms of just human resources, of people serving, giving in various ways to build up this body. Lord, we believe you for what I trust that you're calling us to do. Father, I ask you right now that on August 24th of 2125, that Christ the King Church in Fort Thomas, Kentucky will be a faithful, Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, Christ-loving, sin-hating church that is just as effective and fruitful as ever. So we trust you and pray for 100 years for our kids and grandkids and great-grandkids to be a part of that church. And we ask you now, God, to use us and help us to have the faith to serve or give as you lead. And we ask you all this in the name of Jesus, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We are Christ the King Church. For more information about our church, please visit us at ctkcincy.com.